Brian Moss is currently waiting ever so patiently on the line for me. Brian is going to be our political correspondent here for the next while here on Northside Today. How are you doing this morning, Brian?
Good. There's no love-hate stories, was there, over the weekend? Surely on Monday morning there's usually a couple of love-hate.
There's somebody's bottom apparently appeared on love-hate last night, and his bottom has in his own Facebook page.
It does, yeah, that's right. Tommy Killian Scott. Interesting enough, his brother is a TD.
There you go.
Owen Murphy, TD for the Dublin South area. That's his brother, and his name is Killian Murphy. But when he obviously went to be an actor, he found it was another Killian Murphy, so he changed Killian Scott.
So only one at a time. Right, Brian. So there's been obviously the last few days in the political world has been mostly centred around the budget and lots of haywire going on.
Yeah, and that's it, Sabrina. I mean, the fallout really over the weekend, again, as you mentioned, all the papers kind of examining the budget in greater detail to who's going to be hit and who, you know, got off relatively scot-free, and no one really got off scot-free, I suppose. There's cuts every which way, but that story and the story, the rumblings of James Riley, the Minister for Health, over the weekend at a commemorative, the Wolf Tone commemoration, Micheál Martin, the leader of Fianna Fáil, asked for the resignation, or suggested or made a point that James Riley's position basically is no longer tenable, considering that he can't manage, it appears, what he says, he just cannot manage the Department of Health. The budget is haywire. There's all sorts of questions being asked about the calculations that the Minister for Health has put forward in the budget, and that's the big story. It's not huge news. I mean, ministers get asked to resign every other day of the week.
The kind of phrase that jumps to mind is, like, you know, glass houses, you know? I mean...
Yeah. I mean, you've hit the nail on the head. Micheál Martin was himself once a Minister for Health. He was also a key member of the government who pretty much drove the economy off a cliff. And that's exactly the Fine Gael retort will be. Who are you asking for resignations? And exactly, people in glass houses. And James Riley is in the Department of Health, and, you know, it's very easy to criticise him altogether. You know, it's the most difficult department to manage. The budget is just all over the place. It's such a difficult area to manage. And successive ministers for health, going back to Micheál Martin, to Mary Harney, to Brian Cowan, who were all ministers for health, they didn't solve the problems of our health system. James Riley is not doing a whole lot better, but, I mean, he has said several times, the only reason he is a GP himself, the only reason he got involved in politics was he wanted a Minister for Health job. So I don't think he's going anywhere. Certainly not going to be pushed out by Fianna Fáil, I'd imagine.
And of course, this leads us on nicely as well to the medical card fiasco, which has come out from the budget. I know an awful lot of older people are just terrified.
Yeah, this Grey Revolution, which happened before, of course, that's a bit of an unfortunate name, Grey Revolution, but that's what it has been called in the media. Basically, people who are losing the medical cards, the majority of them, you know, over the age of 70, there are people who are able to mobilise and protest, and there's a lot of votes in there as well. And any politician will be wrong to kind of ignore the power of this age group and bracket of people. But look, the medical cards, he's promised free medical cards to every child under 5, which is a step, what he says, Minister Riley and Enda Kenny, a step on the road to universal healthcare. But there has to be cut somewhere, and he's decided to look at that area because there's a lot of medical cards in that area. Fine Gael are at pains to point out that there's now more medical cards in the country than at any other point in the history of the state. So, you know, they have to be kind of looked at again. Maybe there's people who can't afford their medical care, who don't necessarily need the medical card, and that's where they're going to withdraw it. But obviously, there's people saying, you know, I worked all my life and I'm 70 years of age. Surely the state should provide me with free medical care, which is a more than fair point of view, you would imagine. But yeah, that's rumbling on as well. That's going to continue to rumble all this week, I'd imagine.
It's quite funny how you mentioned the idea of the older demographic there being the most mobilised group when it comes to voting, and they give medical cards to the under 5. Sure, they don't even have a vote. Like, I mean, they're talking about trying to extend it down to maybe about 16 or 17, the voting age. I don't think it's going to be toddlers voting just yet. So it seems like a bizarre kind of move, like a political move.
Well, a lot of times if you look at what's going on at all, you would presume there's 5 or 6 year-olds actually running the country, the tit-for-tat's going on. But yeah, maybe at best a move to 17, 16 years. Imagine, I can't imagine someone finishing up watching SpongeBob SquarePants and going on to vote in a referendum that same day. So I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But it's a vote pleaser, I suppose. There is a lot of young families, and it will benefit an awful lot of people with kids, especially if you have 2 or 3 kids under the age of 5, and they do require medical you know, trips and expenses. The problem is, what people are saying and it could lead to another issue. Let's say little Johnny has a sniffle of a cold. When it wasn't free to bring him into the doctor, little Johnny just, you know, went off and the cold and flu went. Now little Johnny gets free medical care. Will the waiting rooms be clogged with parents going, well, I'm getting it free anyway, I might as well just go in? And that leads to issues such as if there's an overuse of vaccines, they become immune. So there's all sorts of undercurrent, you know, issues associated with this move. But on the whole, it's a populist thing. Oh, every kid under five gets free medical care. A lot of those children would have been entitled to free medical cards anyway. So mainly people are saying it as a political move, really, by Fine Gael to kind of soften the blow. Right. Of the cuts on the other side, really.
God, there's a whole can of worms that could be opened there. Unfortunately,
yeah,
we don't really have the time to go into, you know, anti-vaccinations or anything like that here this morning.
Yeah, but not at this juncture.
Not at this juncture. Brian, you were also going to talk to me as well about Gerry Adams. Now, from the beginning, yeah. This just hit me from blindsight.
Well, over the weekend, again, more revelations, and I think the Sunday Independent has spread. It's coming from the situation with Gerry Adams' brother, who, as you now know, has been convicted of child abuse against his daughter, Gerry Adams' niece. And there's all sorts of issues. If you read, depending on the accounts, Gerry Adams' daughter made the allegations about her father to Gerry Adams as the late 70s initially, and certainly in the 80s. And then there's questions, did Gerry Adams react correctly? Did he inform the authorities at the right time? And to the point that he only actually made a statement about the situation in 2009, and that was on foot of about a month before a documentary was to expose this anyway up the north. So what people are suggesting, Gerry Adams had full knowledge or had knowledge of allegations and didn't appropriately go to the correct authorities with the knowledge he had, which, you know, begs questions in itself, but Gerry Adams is a pain to point out that he was aware of the allegations and he did do what he felt was the best interest of both his niece and I suppose the wider his wider family at the time, and let his niece deal with those allegations. So
he made a statement this morning saying that he's committed no offence and he did the best he could under difficult circumstances.
Well, he has committed no offence. I mean, he certainly hasn't committed any offence.
I wonder, is that just the stock answer in Sinn Féin that they give? It's like almost like a reactionary phrase. I've committed no offence.
Well, certainly, yeah. It's nailed into their walls in the head office. I committed no offence. now the revelations that there was widespread child abuse carried out in Sinn Féin and or IRA, and that since 2005, in fact, Gerry Adams led a kind of secret investigation into these cases. There's cases of, I think, a young boy who said he was abused by a leading member of Sinn Féin and or, as I mentioned, IRA. And that's been exposed. Sinn Féin have now denied it. But what it is, it's just something else they don't need. Sinn Féin were riding very high in the polls.
Yeah.
Pierce Doherty convinced the party that they should back the abolition of the Senate. Initially, they wanted to go to support it. They lost that, obviously. It's not looking good. Then these more things start starting with Gerry Adams, and maybe are people starting to wonder, is it time for a change? And when Gerry Adams has been criticised in terms of his economic abilities, his abilities as a, you know, to manage the affairs in the Dáil and his Mary Lou, are Pierce Doherty a better shout at leading the party if they are really considering to be a government party? And a lot of people would have a hang-up that they might be convinced to vote for Sinn Féin, but with the baggage that Gerry Adams brings, that won't allow them to tick that box when it comes to election time, which, you know, if Gerry Adams was the leader and Pierce Doherty or Mary Lou was, there might be a lot more appealing to floating voters.
Do you think it might be, I've seen the phrase kind of bandied around online over the last few days regarding this story, do you think it might be a bit of a witch hunt?
It could be. You don't know the powers be to work. There could be an undercurrent of ancient fame that maybe feel it is time for a change, and they might be encouraging certain stories to write. You just don't know. That could completely wide at the mark. Certainly, he didn't need it at this juncture, following on from, you know, he could face, there is suggestions that he could face questions up the north about how he handled the situation. He initially was questioned about it, and then the last couple of weeks, there's stories appearing that the Director of Public Prosecutions up there, the equivalent of office, might consider re-questioning him on his kind of involvement and how he handled that situation. Again, it's just bad press. And he is right, he has committed no offence in terms of the allegations relating to his brother. He has done nothing wrong. in the strict legal sense, but then people would say, you know, Mary Lou McDonald, and it was played during the week, made a speech a couple of years back where she said anyone who withholds, to paraphrase, anyone who withholds information about abuse scandals is guilty. And when you look at the face of it, Gerry Adams looks like he did withhold information, or certainly didn't go to the authorities at the correct time about an abuse allegation. So it's a difficult one. Which one? Maybe, but a lot of it's been brought on by himself, really.
There's never any loss of scandal within that political party.
If you joined in vain, you kind of join up to the fact that you're going to be in the press every day for this, that and your reasons.
It's never going to be great either.
You have to wonder, does Piers Doherty, Mary Lou McDonald thing, and the other TDs thinking, this is the last thing we need. You know, is Gerry really, it is 2013, he's been president for over 30 years, I think. Is it time for a change? You know, do we need this constant drib-drab of allegations? And
do you think that could be the next step within the party?
Well, it'd be huge, because Gerry Adams is so synonymous with Sinn Féin, so synonymous with the peace process, so synonymous with IRA as well. I mean, and there's still a vast majority of people who would back the ideologies of Sinn Féin IRA and the 32-county republic, and he is a figurehead there. He's also someone who commands respect both north and south of the border. Would Mary Lou McDonald have the respect of the northern part, the northern Sinn Féin members? I don't know. Maybe Piers Doherty might be a better shout there, simply because he's from that neck of the woods, even though he's within the 26. You know, Gerry Adams is a unifying figure. He's a hugely political personality. He's dominated Irish politics for the best part of four decades. But, I mean, as I said here, if Sinn Féin, because, you know, on the polls, it would look like they could well have a balance of power in the next election. You know, would people really like to see tarnished to Gerry Adams? I don't know. They could easier see a tarnished to Piers Doherty or tarnished to Mary Lou McDonald if they're the junior coalition partners in a government, which is very, very likely. I mean, 10 years ago you couldn't see this, but it is very, very likely. Sinn Féin, all the opinion polls would point to the fact they are going to gain seats next time around. And I just think to have Gerry Adams in government, especially as tarnished, is a step too far for too many people.
So would you be maybe advising people, if they had a spare five or something, to head down to the bookies and maybe put a bit of a flutter on maybe Piers Doherty or Mary Lou?
Yeah, and look, Mary Lou is vice president at the moment, so the natural order of things would she would take it. I just think the fact that Piers Doherty is from that neck of the woods, and apart from it was his call in the Senate, on the Senate, and the Senate, should I say, he kind of made a boo-boo there, but all in all, he's been a very, very impressive performer over the last number of years. He's got a big public profile, he's well-respected, he does speak sense, some of his economic policies are very, very strong. Some of his views, he's able to articulate them very well. Good media performer. For me, if I was in that party, I'd be looking more towards him, because he can unify North and South, than Mary Lou, who's undoubtedly very talented, and if Sinn Féin are in government, will be a senior minister, and again, a very polished performer. But if there was to be a change in political leadership, it's hard to see. Obviously, you look at Labour, and that probably could be first to go with Joan Burton and Eamon Gilmore, but I wouldn't be surprised, yeah, if in the next, you know, the local elections are, I think, less than a year and a half. If they don't go well, Sinn Féin, that could be the catalyst that kind of goes, okay, we need to make a move. But I don't think anyone would make a move on him. I think it would have to be Gerry Adams deciding himself.
Very good, Brian. Brian, just to take a bit of a diversion now away from politics. Yeah. You're not just into politics. You're quite big into pop culture as well. Have you heard about What Does the Fox Say?
No, I haven't heard What Does the Fox Say.
Well, you are seriously behind it. Literally, as I'm sitting here looking at the computer screen now, those views are currently going up on YouTube. It's currently at 144 million views on YouTube.
I did see a little snippet of this. It's kind of bizarre.
It is bizarre. And we were only actually, myself and yourself, were only lamenting the death of good songwriting and song lyrics the other day. And this is another example of some bizarre. It's a Norwegian folk tune that a couple of Norwegian lads kind of put this video together, kind of to give a chuckle to some Norwegian people. So, I mean, it's bizarre. It's going to be the new Gangnam Style.
Well, it was funny you mentioned, because I was reading an article about the most watched YouTube videos last night, and Gangnam Style is way, way above. I think that's over 1 billion views. So maybe this might be up there, the top 10.
You never know. Brian Moss, thanks so much for joining us today. And we're going to listen to hear What Does the Fox Say. Thanks a million, Brian.
No bother. Cheers.